Casting from behind these enemy lines that we call USA Inc. I do have a topic for you tonight. It is sort of an impromptu broadcast. The reason that I'm doing this broadcast, I just got hit with some more anti-blackness. I heard some yesterday and I heard some the day before that. And where did I hear this? But on Black Radio. And I don't do these type of broadcasts to single anyone out. I try to identify anti-blackness in myself and try to deal with it, because let's keep it real. We all, if we live in a racist society, if especially the media is controlled by 90% or 90% of the media is controlled by white people, suspected racists, then it stands to reason that we're going to be programmed with anti-blackness. So, but there is a lot of anti-blackness in the community from those perhaps meaning well, but it is anti-blackness nonetheless, and it needs to be eliminated, or else I wouldn't do these. I run a black platform, a black media platform, independent media platform. So I listen to a lot of radio and different thoughts and the speech of people on the different broadcasts. Now, by no means am I saying that I want to control any of the speech that's coming out of the mouths of people who utilize the services of the network Black Talk Radio. But I'm a member of the community, and whenever we see problems in the community, we want to try to offer solutions, and that is what I do these broadcasts for. I don't try to single people out. I won't say their names, because let's be real, they're not the only ones. But some of you may know who I'm talking about, or I'm actually talking about several people who uttered this anti-black speech. And again, some of these people mean well, and it's understandable. Again, like I stated, when you got racist suspects controlling 90% of global media, and that's global media. So, we're going to see manifestations of that anti-blackness in the thought speech, and that leads to action. Thoughts and speech, that's an old philosophical term or phrase that has been around. I think it originates in the Hindu, but you think things, then you speak on those things, and that leads to action. In Western Christian culture, you may read in the scriptures, what a man speaks is what's in his heart. Whatever's in a person's heart is going to come out. But if a person is thinking a certain way, speaking a certain way, then chances are they're acting the same way that they're thinking and speaking. So that could be good. That can definitely be bad. So, but again, I blame most of it, let's make that clear, on the anti-black media programming coming from white people who control 90% of global mass media. That's a fact. Many articles been written about it. Actually, I shared an article from Rap Rehab today that details that. So now, others, it seems to be intentional deception in order to manipulate people into supporting an agenda. And I will have examples for this, but I just want to lay out the topic for you. Some people, they engage in deception, and perhaps they can't think of any kind of other way to support their ideology or their agenda, whatever their goal, whatever it is they're trying to do. So they will try to shame black people into supporting or falling behind an ideology, and they engage in anti-blackness. Again, these could be well-meaning people, but again, also there are those who are just being deceptive. There are deceptive people out there. I shouldn't have to really explain that to anyone except for our children. Now, I also chalk up some of it to people just simply not reading enough and not knowing the definitions of words they are using. It is very important to understand the words that we use. Again, speech, you think thought, speech, and action. Well, you should know the definitions of the words that you are speaking. Now, most of the examples that I'm going to give to people who are the subjects of these examples that I'm going to give later, they recognize white supremacy. So, since they recognize white supremacy, and what they mean when they say that is white people are in charge. And since we have a racist society based on a racist culture, then it stands to reason that the people in charge are also racist. Okay, that's just simple logic right there. That's simple observation and deduction. It's simple. Okay, so I chalk up a lot of people just not reading. One of the things that I really took away from, and I took a lot of things away from reading a biography of Malcolm X, which I talk about that a lot, because that was really life-changing. This man was really a beautiful human being who was wrong. You could read some of his stuff, his thoughts and his speech and his actions. But then later, I guess through personal growth, reading, being exposed to more thoughts and other people's speeches, and he made, again, simple observations and deductions to where he would then evolve on certain positions. That's a beautiful human being. But one of the things from his story that really stood out to me was when he went into prison, and one of the books that he read was The Dictionary. The Dictionary. Understanding the meaning of words. That's why if you listen to Malcolm X speak from our archives, he rarely misspeaks. He rarely misspeaks because why? Because he knows the definition of the words that he is using. That is very important. If you know the definition of words, then there is nothing that the supreme people that's in charge who wrote the dictionary, who, if we're going to agree that they're in charge, then I can't go off of your dictionary or your definitions. I have to go with the supreme dictionary. And so you should understand that logic if you recognize the supremacy of white people, just not biologically and whatever, but they're in charge of the system. All right. They are, and they do have collaborators who are non-white. But you know, I don't want to go there right now. All right. So, but if you don't know the definition of words, that leads to a lot of misunderstanding, which leads to what? Confusion. Cause now I'm confused about what you're talking about, what you meaning, or if you understand the definition of the words that you are using. And so that is, again, it goes to people's different education level. A lot of these people that we encounter or online, how much do we really know about them? You know, we don't know, and I don't mean just simply, you know, about them having PhDs and bragging about it and all of that, because you can get the knowledge of a PhD without ever going to school, because we live in the information age, the age of the information highway. So that, again, is no excuse for anybody to be ignorant about the words that they're using and not knowing the supreme definitions of these words. Unless, of course, you're technology challenged, because we do have baby boomers out there who do not know how to use smartphone technology. They don't know how to use, therefore they can't access online dictionaries. But one of the things that I also remember from when I was in their schools of indoctrination, and I did come across some good teachers, or at least they gave me some lessons that served me well. But one of the exercises that they had us do in English was read the newspaper and then circle the words that you don't know. Then look up those words and write down the definition. That, you know, that is the way they taught children, school-aged children, how to expand their vocabulary. Okay, and it's not so that you can use big words on people and impress them with your vocabulary. No, it's so that when other people are speaking to you, you know the definitions of the words that they speak, and so it's less likely that they're going to be able to, as they say, pull a fast one on you. Okay, it's not so you can use the your knowledge of definition of words as a weapon to beat someone over the head with, but it's so that people don't deceive you, or whether it's intentionally or unintentional. I mean, again, as the scriptures say, the blind leading the blind, they both gonna fall into a ditch. All right, but again, I still blame white people at the end of the day, because they are in charge of everything, all people activity areas, education, indoctrination, whatever. I blame them. They in control of all the media. The media is how you program the masses. Malcolm X taught me that as well. So I at the end of the day, but at the same time though, to counter something, that means that you come up with, like, in, if we use military terms, they have counter surveillance. In the intelligence community, people who are in, you know, so that's what I mean, or counter weapon systems, anti-weapon systems to combat other systems. So we're supposed to be acknowledging these problems and then coming up with a solution and trying not to allow their programming to overwhelm us to where we're engaging in exactly what they want us to engage in, while at the same time we thinking that, you know, we really countering something, and we not. So it is very, very important to be critical of everything you read, see, and hear through mass media, because of who's in control of it. You got to question everything. All right, so let me get into some of my examples. Well, that was my example. Number one is who's in control. Who's most in charge of the mass media that we're seeing, meaning also pushing word usage and language, because I did a video not that long ago on the mass media's misuse of the word anti-Semitism in order to assign it to a religious classification, and then just assign it to European Jews, when Arabs, Hebrew-speaking people, that would include Ethiopians, that would include anybody from that region of Africa that spoke a Semitic language. And the Palestinian people are Semites, because most of them are Arabs. I know Palestinian is a nationality and not a race, but Arab, but the majority population is Arab, and they are Semites, because Arabic is one of the Semitic languages. Okay, so when we saw, when I saw the media misusing this term and not using it according to its definition, you know, so that's why I blame them the most, because most people pick this stuff up. We call ourselves learning from them, when and what's most likely happen is we're being programmed, including myself. We have to always be on guard and kind of, like, I guess, reboot our internal system, you know, to purge the programming, so to speak. So the next example that I would like to use, and let me just pull up some things, and I will explain that graph that you see and why I had those definitions up, because that will be one of my examples. But the next example I would like to go into is, I blame it on intentional deception. Now, I was listening to a program, and this is not to attack that person, because like me, they still learn. That's another thing I learned from Malcolm X. Don't be so quick to condemn. He didn't say don't judge, because, you know, we judge every day. We want people to have good judgment, right? That's why that term exists. So, but he said don't condemn. Don't be so quick to condemn those who don't know what you know, because at one time you didn't know what you knew. Okay, so a lot of meaning of these words I did not know till I looked them up. So again, I'm not trying to bash anyone, but it is something we have to talk about. So the person's name is not important. This person wrote a book supposed to help the black community, and I heard him engaging in a lot of anti-blackness. Okay, and I did, you know, make my thoughts known through my speech by communicating with this person, but, you know, it was a short exchange. Didn't have time to go into a long dialogue, but anti-blackness really gets under my skin. more so when it comes from black people than when it comes from non-black people, because how can we eliminate, be working towards eliminating racism in the dominant society or in other people if we have not successfully eliminated anti-blackness, racism in ourselves? Okay, so that's my goal. So, but anyway, this person perhaps was engaging in this anti-blackness, denigrating Dr. Martin Luther King, saying that he was, how did he say that, begging white people to treat me as an equal and all this and that. He was denigrating those people who participate in marching. Of course, we are talking about the black community, talking about the civil rights movement during the 60s, talking about the modern protest and all of that, and just really denigrating the people who engage in that. But then he used one example. He used the example of the Montgomery bus boycott. And he was trying to say that people who march and protest, that's all they do, that they don't really have no plan. You know, but if you buy his book, he got the plan. But, you know, but saying they didn't have a plan. And I tried to break it down to him and say that was one element of the movement. That was young people, that was college students and high school students, because you didn't want to march your elderly out there. They wanted to use the power of mass media, which Malcolm X and Dr. Martin Luther King identified as power early on. And we want these images of these children being attacked by dogs, and we're going to train them, you know, how to lessen the impact of the trauma that's being inflicted. But we want those. I mean, some people might say that's child abuse, but these kids' parents, and they volunteered. And so, I mean, if we want to go back in history, I mean, you had warriors at the age, I imagine, puberty or whatnot. So, but anyway, just saying, like, so that was just one element of it, and that worked. That put international pressure on the United States to address this issue, because you're not going to come to the UN and act like you're running a civilized nation, the best democracy on the planet, and then you know just blatantly terrorizing people. And again, I'm acknowledging that it still goes on. But that was just one part of it. They had attorneys that were then filing lawsuits and challenging laws in court. So, I mean, again, I felt like that wasn't ignorance on his part. It had to be intentional deception, because then you tell me that you read about these same things. When you then say Thurgood Marshall is the one who really did something in terms of integration, and we could have a separate debate on that, but saying that he fought it through the courts. Well, guess what? He was part of the same civil rights movement. So we're being deceptive and saying that, you know, well, black lawyers, all we need to do is file lawsuits. No, that's a tool in the tool chest. Like we see right now, we see the victims of modern day slavery in private prisons filing a class action lawsuit in a federal court saying that this is slavery, that you used us as slaves, and that's supposed to be against certain federal codes, although the supreme law of the land says that slavery was never abolished, and that's the 13th Amendment, that they can practice slavery against you as punishment for a crime. So I'm be watching that case. I'm really, but you know, again, these are, so for him to be deceptive and paint the civil rights movement, the black power movement, because the black power people were organizing protests and marchings and holding demonstrations. So that, again, this is a tactic. It's a tactic that goes along with other tactics and parts of a plan that you're putting in action. So I felt like he was being really deceptive, and then to portray Dr. King like some weak black man and saying he was just wanting to be equal with the whites and begging them. No, he was demanding. You know, there's a difference. Again, this is the importance of language. When he said that the Montgomery bus boycott didn't achieve nothing. It was a year-long boycott where black people were not riding the public bus. This is something that they pay taxes. They're paying income, not income taxes, but probably income taxes. I don't know when they implemented income taxes, but they were paying sales taxes, municipal taxes, probably payroll taxes. They getting taxed, and they paying for the upkeep of all of these so-called public accommodation. So we all know that if a black person, a tax-paying so-called citizen, was on the bus, if a white person got on, they had to get up off the bus. Now, do you think that's right? Would you accept that sort of treatment today? So it wasn't begging for me to be for them to be treated equally. They were demanding that, no, you are not going to take my money, and then you're going to disrespect me on something I'm paying for. Okay, that's not begging. And so black people for a year said, you know what, we just won't ride the bus then. If we can't be treated like human beings, you know, that's standing up for your rights or dignity. That's not begging. And so how dare we try to push an agenda or try to act like we got the plan and then denigrate other people and then tell lies about what they achieved. So that was a show of unity in the community. They stopped riding the buses. They even passed laws to make that illegal. They could put organizers or economic boycotts in jail. Again, people, it's important to read. I know all of us don't have time to read, but again, we got all this smart technology. We should have smart people or smarter people, okay, if they use it right. All right, so, but anyway, that led that bus boycott, which was about 12 or 13 months that they wouldn't ride the bus in a carpool, or they walked to work, or wherever they needed to go, to the grocery store, wherever, to the church. They wasn't riding the bus, all right? So that hurt the town. And then that led to, through the courts, they also filed a lawsuit. All right, it wasn't just marching and protesting. They filed a lawsuit, and it went all the way to the Supreme Court. And that's why today you don't have, when you riding on public accommodations, can't no white person come up to you and say, get out that seat. I want to sit down. So let's not act like these things, when people talk about integration, they also are deceptive. Again, I heard people say this on another program this week, anti-blackness, saying that they were stupid. Those who fought for integration, they weren't fighting for it to be integrated with white people. They were fighting to use public accommodations that they were paying for and not be mistreated. That's what it was about. All right, it wasn't that the white man's ice was colder, but then we had those who are deceptive, and they talk about things like we had everything that we needed before them old handkerchief head Negroes started fighting for integration and all of that. Now, that's a doggone lie. That's a doggone lie. Why do you think Dr. King started the Poorest People's Campaign? When you go look at some of the old documentaries on poverty in America, now, you know, especially if you look at periods of total economic depression in the United States, like they talk about the Dust Bowl or whatever that time, it's not coming to my mind right now, but they talk about these different periods, you know, following stock market crashes and things of that nature. However bad white people were doing, I guarantee you black people and other non-white people, it was 100 times worse. Okay? So I was watching an old documentary today, you know, 3 months before Dr. King got killed. You know, he was on his Poor People's Campaign. He was touring the South. There was this black woman talking about how she had to feed her kids pinto beans 3 times a day. That's all, 7 days a week. Because they were so poor, that's all they could afford to eat. I mean, look at some of those old documentaries. Even if they had jobs in the city, they wasn't being paid the same. All right? Unequal pay. Something we still fighting against this day, you know, in the system and in these corporations. So they, if you're not making a certain amount of money, guess where you got to live, where you can afford? Where's that? In the slums. Dr. King talked about the slums in Chicago and what have you. So let's not act like we had everything and we was employing everyone in our community and we was making automobiles and was running automobile dealerships, or we had deals with the Nigerians to sell supply us gas so we can run our own gas stations. And let's not act, we was running our own buses across the country and all of these. Now we may have had individual Black Wall Streets pop up, but guess what? They couldn't defend it. That's why it got burnt to the ground. So why are you bragging about that or using that to say like that or insinuate like that was, you know, the condition for most of us when it was not? It was not. So how dare you engage in anti-Blackness to disparage Dr. King? You ain't got to agree with his tactics, but you do have to be truthful about history now. But that's some of the anti-Blackness that has me doing this broadcast, because I just couldn't let it go. I try to be patient, but again, I run a Black network. I help manage a Black network. I am not trying to control the mouths of these Black people, but when I hear things expressed, I have to address them, because I do run a media organization and we want to address racism in media. But again, how are we going to address anti-Blackness in 90% of the white media, and we haven't totally eliminated in the 10%, I guess, of the non-white media? All right, so I don't know how big of a slice our pie is of the mass media, but yeah, we need to address this. And so I feel compelled to address it. Now the next example I want to use, I'm going to chalk it up to people not knowing words, people not knowing the definitions of the words that they're using. So I don't know if you can see those definitions clearly for those who are watching on video. I don't know if you can see those definitions clearly, but I will read them for you. Now, so I was listening, and again, it's not the first time I've heard it. I've heard it over probably the last year or so, but I hear people calling, let's just call it thug culture. Is people understand that term. When you say thug culture, they know what you're talking about. So that's why I'm using that term. I don't like the word thug or whatnot, but you know, a lot of people understand the definition of what a thug is. Now, a lot of people will try to assign a color to that, but that's again racism in your thoughts. It's going to come out through your speech, and you're probably going to act racist towards people who you quote unquote think look like thugs or whatnot. But there's a thug culture. Now, some people are calling a subculture Black culture. And music, and they talk about hip hop music, again, who's in control of all of the music that's being put out to the masses. Who's in control of it? Of the mass production and distribution of this media and the transmission of this media, when we talk about your urban radio stations that's playing all of this murder music, where they talk about killing, stealing, raping, all kind of negative stuff. You know, this is going over FCC licensed airways, and the majority of the stations are owned by these white corporations who control 90% of everything in terms of mass media. But some of it is Black owned stations too, because they say, oh, if that's what people going to listen to, I might as well make some money off of it. And they will promote that anti-Blackness. So anti-Blackness is everywhere. And you really can't blame certain people for being infected with that, because it's being programmed into us daily through all kind of means of communication. Okay, so, but this person was saying all these negative stereotypes about Black people, like when Black people get together, they getting together to do something evil, or whenever there's large groups of black people who get together, there's always a fight, a shooting or a stabbing or something like that. And I actually did a podcast about a week ago on what I call anti-blackness and counter-racism. All right. So this person calls that black culture. Then other people hear this person calling that black culture. And so then they see all of these negative stereotypes, which these negative stereotypes are based on real people. I guess a philosophical question we could ask is, which came first, the people or the stereotype? Because you come up with a stereotype that portrays people speaking and acting and dressed in a certain way, and then you put this out over your mass media networks, and then there will be some people who will do what they see, okay? But that's not culture. That's not black culture. It is a subculture. So this is why it's important to know the definitions of words so that it don't lead to confusion. It doesn't lead to any kind of arguments, but also so we can all be on the same page. But again, if we agree that white people are in charge, that white people, definitely the English language, which we are communicating in, was originated with Europeans, right? Or England, right? So their dictionaries are the supreme books, dictionaries of the land. So why should I, if you're telling me that, and you do tell me that, why should I go off of your definition? Because then, as I pointed out in that last podcast, everybody ain't reading from your dictionary. So we got to use commonly used words with the commonly used or prescribed definitions, or else anything else is confusion, which leads to what? Unconstructive time-wasting behavior. So what they are describing is a subculture. If you look at white culture, which is the dominant culture or dominant society, but we're talking about a culture. They have subcultures, okay? Like popular culture is a subculture, a white culture or European culture, popular culture, all right? That's a subculture of the dominant culture. So when you're talking about rap music, although it was a original art form, so the early, you know, hip hop or the early rap music, I'm not going to paint it as subculture. I think it was a major contribution to black culture. But then when you come to gangster rap, and they got all kind of different genres or names for this different types of rap. Trap rap, I think, is one word I heard, or something like that. Those are sub raps. Okay. I wouldn't call them, you know, rap. So, but I want to, again, because we live on the information highway, I want to bring to your attention what black culture is. I guess I should go ahead and read the definitions first, okay? Because you may not be able to read them. All right, culture: the arts and other manifestations of human intellectual achievement regarded collectively. So let me break that down. So that I'm speaking in simple language or common language. They're talking of art is self-explanatory, all right, but other manifestation of human, that, you know, black people are human, can we agree? Some people would say, and I would agree, we are the original, you know, Africans are the original man, you know, everything else is, never mind, but anything else, but culture, the arts and other manifestations of human intellectual, we're talking about thought, right, that then express itself through action. And so, and achievements that are regarded collectively, meaning that they identify people of different ethnicities or classifications, if we're going to use racial classification, black people, all right? And what could we say they collectively have put out to the world in these different areas of the arts or writing or whatever, whatever makes up culture. All right. Well, that is, I just gave you the definition of culture. Now, what is achievement? Because then you will say that, well, isn't those stereotypical people out there, and they do exist because they watch an MTV or Yo MTV Raps or VH1, and they see this gangster behavior on video, and these actors, and they're acting in gangster manner, and they emulate that. They emulate that. People emulate what they see. So, you know, again, that's not what we would call an intellectual achievement, because it don't take much thought to use the N-word several times in the work on a record, in a rap. It don't take a whole lot of, you know, thought into just coming up with violent lyrics and imagery, talking about robbing people and all that. It don't take much thought to commit crimes, all right? So anyway, you know, especially if you in tune with your lower self. But if we're gonna call something an achievement, then let's look up the word achievement. What is the definition of achievement? A thing done successfully, typically by effort, courage, and skill. You know, it don't take much skill to murder people or to talk about murdering people. Now, I mean, yeah, we could call people rhyming on rap skillful or whatever, or on the turntables or whatnot. But when we're talking about culture, again, music is just part of culture. And that's just one form of culture. And then it has its own subculture. So we're talking about something that is considered an achievement in a good way, not in a negative way. Something that they, you know, people want to recognize your skill in and your contribution to humanity. So what is subculture? That's the next definition. A cultural group within a larger culture, often having beliefs or interests at variance with those of the larger culture. Variance means variety, basically. So it means everybody is not going to agree. It's just going to be different aspects of it. So everybody doesn't, again, let's take it to rap music. When rap music first came out, the message, especially the message by Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, it was social, political commentary. It had a message. That's why on Black Talk Radio Network, we got the Message Music Channel, where we put rap music, hip-hop music, and R&B, but it has a positive or revolutionary message, so we call it Message Music, okay? So, but then you have sub-genres, again, trap rap, gangster rap, booty rap, whatever they calling it, whatever white people is deciding is a genre, because they the ones who running the whole thing. But I'm going to give you some examples of what we would consider black culture, meaning using the original definition, the arts and other manifestations of human intellectual achievement regarded collectively. So all we have to do is use a search engine. Okay, use technology to access information. So let's talk about music. What you know, historically, we're talking about black people, black culture, for lack of a better word, but I'm not ashamed of that word, which is also another anti-blackness when people tell you not to refer to yourself as black. I've done videos on that. People want me to call myself a Moor. Well, I'm not a Muslim, and I'm not from Morocco, okay? And you know, I did not help a bunch of crackers, racist crackers, enslave people. So I'm not identifying as a Moor, okay? But you can, that's your right. So when you come at people and you say you shouldn't call yourself this, look, they got a right to self-determination, which includes how they self-identify, whatever the words and terms they want to use. Who are you? See, that anti-blackness. Don't call yourself black. Why? Because, hey, you're not black. You a Moor. No, I'm not a Moor. I don't practice Islam, although the founder of the Moor Science Temple was from right here in North Carolina, and his parents were slaves, and he was adopted by the Cherokee Nation Indians, But also, the other story is he had a black father, an African father, who was enslaved, and a Cherokee mother, okay, an indigenous woman. He founded the Morris Science Temple. He ain't from Morocco. He from North Carolina, okay? Look it up, all right? What's the brother name? Noble Drew Ali, I think it's his name, that started the Morris Science Temple, which is registered as a religious nonprofit. So I'm not a member. I don't practice y'all religion as well. So please don't come at me with anti-blackness, telling me not to call myself black. I know there that white people have attached a lot of negative connotations to the word black or black skin or whatever, okay? But we don't have to go along with the programming. That's why the Black Panthers got with James Brown, and the result was I'm black and I'm proud. All right, no, they was using that as a weapon against you. Don't use that against other people, okay? Whatever. But anyway, what are the different types of music that black people have, that has been attributed to black people or Afro-descendant people, to the Moors, also Afro-Carolinian? you know, I refer to myself as that sometimes, but no, let me keep it real, I'm black. Ragtime music, okay, that's one of them. This particular website is kind of locking up, so I'm gonna go off on memory. The blues, all right, jazz, or what else? Ragtime, the blues, jazz, rhythm and blues. Then you also got a combination, because artists, musicians were being influenced by these different expressions of black culture through music, and they combined it, and then it was called something else. Okay, so Lil Wayne, Nicki Minaj, all of them artists that signed to these white labels that's getting paid handsomely to express themselves, express anti-blackness in their lyrics and in their speech and in their actions, okay, that ain't culture. That's a subculture that we could say white people created. Now, we'll give credit to N.W.A. and Dr. Dre and Eazy-E. We'll give them credit for creating it, but guess who saw that and jumped right on board? Who was they manager? Jerry Heller, I think was his name. Okay, he ain't black, is he? All right, and so that just grew. Oh, them white corporate plantation music owners, oh, they love that stuff. So we could say they could have, they didn't create ate it, but they spread it, because they in control of what? Mass media. So jazz, the blues, ragtime music, you could even say rock and roll, all right? I forget some of, what's that black woman's name, who Elvis Presley, you know, kind of stole one of her songs, or You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog. I mean, this black woman's playing electric guitar. I mean, and then they say Chuck Berry, but it was really her. Sorry, I don't remember her name. You can find the stuff on YouTube. But anyway, we created rock and roll. Just because white people really loved it, and then most white musicians took it over, it still is part of black culture, rock and roll, because we created it. So stop calling the most negative aspects of what white people are promoting, a subculture within black culture, as black culture, because it is not high achieving intellectual thought, speech, or action. Now, what else is black culture? Fashion. And I'm not talking about sagging your pants and all of that. I'm talking about real fashion. I looked up, okay, what was some of famous black fashion designers? Okay, I come up with an article. 25 greatest black fashion designers. Most of these people look like they still living. But it did show some people from the 60s and what have you. But I'm going to just throw these names out there. Armando Cabral. Cabral has a face you've probably seen before. You most likely encountered it in a lookbook fashion show or while perusing the J. Crew catalog or web shop. When the Portuguese model, but he's black, model isn't in front of the camera, he's probably designing shoes. So again, clothing, he designing shoes. We ain't talking about sagging pants, all the negative aspects of this subculture that, white people have spread. But then we have Carly Cushney, and I'm just going to say these names. I'm not going to read everything. Duro Olowo, it's a black male, Nigerian. I think he's Nigerian. But he is really recognized for his women's designs. Then we got Arthur McGee, Jeffrey Banks. We got Dexter and Brian Pert. Two young brothers look like Stephen Burroughs. Older black gentleman, Scott Berry. Martine Rose. Agape. This is a brother, Agape Mudulama. Looks like, these are all fashion designers, meaning they create clothing. We ain't talking about Ubu, but you could say that's part of culture, but that was part of rap culture. That clothing specifically was created as a result of the subcultures that came up in rap. We'll just say hip-hop. We'll attach it to hip-hop. You know, the baggy clothing and stuff like that. Russell Simmons really did contribute to black culture. I think he was the one who came out with Ubu and what have you. So I used to own some of that clothing. Telfair Clemens, B. Michael, Edward Wilkerson. Hey, they put Russell Simmons. Shane Oliver. Mark Hare, Maxwell Osborne, Oliver. So, I mean, again, there is no lack of black people who have contributed to culture, to black culture in the way of fashion. Because, again, what did the definition also say? Collectively. So we're putting them collectively together based on skin color because that's, you know, I didn't create the system. I just live in it, trying to change it. But the arts and other manifestations of human intellectual achievement regarded collectively. All right. So again, why do we want to attach everything or use the stereotypes that's promoted to us in mass media, controlled again by who? 90% of all global mass media is white people. So what else? Culture, food. I could look up, you know, famous black chefs and the cuisine that they contributed. But food is part of black culture. Southern, you know, they call it Southern food, but what they really talking about is black people. The different recipes they came up with the little bit that they were able to get a hold of and created these dishes because, again, black people, again, stop acting like we did not have tremendous poverty and still got tremendous poverty. What else is other culture? We could look up black architects that are, you know, design buildings. We could look up painters and artists, you know. Go to the African American Museum. You probably will see some black culture in there as well. Oh yeah, black writers. It's some Alex Haley, what's her name? Miss Wheatley's name. I can't think of her name right now. I did have that up. Let me just pull that up right quick now that it seems that my browser is acting right. Famous black writers. Because writing is important. Because to be a writer, you gotta know the definition of words if you wanna be an effective writer. So here are some black famous black artists. Okay, these are people who do sculptures and music. Jacob Lawrence, he passed away in 2000. Carol Walker, Henry Asawa Tanner, I believe that's his name. Let me pull up this article because I did have this one up. Because if I don't look it up, and you may not look these things up, so I have your attention. I'm going to go ahead and give you these people names, famous black writers, okay? People in this collection is Edmonia Lewis, 1844 to 1907, Jean-Michel Basquiat, a painter artist, 1960 to 1988. Kara Walker, and these are their birth and of course, death date. Kara Walker, still alive. Faith Ringgold, she was born in 1930. Henry Ossawa Tanner, 1859, died in 1937. Augusta Savage, 1892-1962. Jacob Lawrence, born in 1917. Is that correct? 1917? And died in 2000? I don't think that's correct, because that's pretty young. They must, I don't know. Horace Pimpin, 1888 to 1946. Laura Wheeler Waring, painter, 1887 to died in 1948. Look, it got a whole page full of people. Gordon Parks, pianist, director, photographer, songwriter, writer, 1912, died in 2006. This is black culture, okay? Stop assigning Lil Wayne, Nicki Minaj, or gangsters out there, gangbangers out there in the street. Stop calling that black culture. It's not. It's a subculture. Most black people are not doing these things. It's not a culture. It's a subculture. So if you're going to describe it as a subculture so that we can all be on the same page of the supreme dictionaries out here. So there's no confusion. That's all I'm trying to contribute here, is to lessen confusion and encourage reading and looking up definitions of words. Ain't no shame. I still come across words I do not know. So let me close that. I want to pull up black writers. Specifically, because words are important. More importantly is that we know the definition of the words that we're using. So Toni Morrison, y'all know her, James Baldwin, Richard Wright, Alice Walker, Ralph Ellison, W.E.B. Du Bois, Walter Mosley, Malcolm X, Amiri Baraka, Gwendolyn Brooks, Alex Haley, Ishmael Reed, Lorraine Hansberry, I've heard of her. Nikki, I've heard of all these people, but I learned to her early on in my teen years. Nikki Giovanni, August Wilson, Sonia Sanchez, Matt Johnson, Chester Himes, John Oliver Killens, James Weldon John, John Henry Clark, and that's who I was thinking about where they were talking about. I was saying, you don't know what culture is. Those people don't represent black culture. That's a subculture in control of white. I mean, white people control it. So I could go on and on. Cornel West, Angela Davis, Booker T. Washington. Because, see, we're talking about a high intellectual achievement. That's why I guess it's important to know the definition of achievement. So all I'm trying to do is there is a lot of anti-blackness that exists for different reasons and various reasons in the black community, and we have to address it. We have to minimize it as much as possible. I know the task is difficult because we're not in control of the mass media, but we still have to try. But especially among the circles or the people, the subgroup of black people who call themselves counter-racist, and we're supposed to be studying this. Again, I know we all victims, we all been programming, we constantly need to deprogram ourselves and be on guard that anti-blackness don't rise up in us, because I have anti-black thoughts for various reasons because of the programming. But I have to not let that come through my speech, because then I'll be acting in a proxy racist manner towards black people. So that is my purpose, is not to say that my ideology or my understanding of things is better than somebody else, or I'm trying to put them down, but also there are those intentionally being deceptive, but there are people who are ignorant because they haven't looked up the definition of words. Again, we live in the information age. So can't be making excuses, but I will, especially if they baby boomers, then I will give them a pass, okay? Then especially the way that so-called the education of the Negro has been by the U.S. public school system, I can understand it. So I try to be patient. I try to be patient. So thank y'all for watching. If I sounded like I was rambling, I didn't mean to. If I seem emotional, that is because I am a passionate person. But I am in control of my thoughts and I just speak passionately about issues because I care about them deeply, but I do not allow emotion to interfere in my analysis. So thank you. If you would like to support the independent media efforts of the Black Talk Media Project, go to the website. Just Google Black Talk Media Project. Pick up a Black Radio Station Matters t-shirt. These are tax-deductible donations to the North Carolina-based nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. .org. We got to fund it because we way behind. Remember, they control 90% of what you see. We can't afford to lose any independent Black media. Peace and blessings to all.